Welcome back to the Political Checklist here on the Rundown Blog. I'm political editor David Chalian, joined by senior correspondent Gwen Ifill. Gwen, as we sit here, our country has hit what we call the debt ceiling. $14.3 trillion is what the United States is legally allowed to borrow, so auction off this debt. We've hit that limit. Now, Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner is doing all these maneuverings so that we're not defaulting on our debt yet. But we've hit this limit that we've heard so much about, and I don't feel Armageddon. I don't feel the markets freaking out. I don't see politicians sort of stopping their negotiations on this. Why is that?
Because the debt limit debate over the years has now morphed into a debate about leverage. Who has the leverage to get things done or not? When Democrats are in control, Republicans vote against raising the debt limit, knowing the Democrats will pay. When Republicans are in control, when the Democrats are in control, it works the opposite way. And it's always been thus. I mean, 78 times since 1960, that this debt limit vote has come up. And each time, eventually, after fighting about abortion or taxation or whatever, they end up raising the debt limit. So, on one hand, this is a completely political issue. On the other hand, this is a very scary debate, some people say, to be having at a time of economic setback. And that's part of what Tim Geithner's challenge is, to say we can't not do this, and that the rest of the world is looking at us and saying, how can you not do this? We have to send these waves of assurance to at least foreign markets, where domestically, you're right, Wall Street seems to be going, oh, they'll get to it. They're very calm.
They know the history, apparently, that you just cited for us, which is that it has always happened. It always gets raised. As you said, no politician likes to take this vote, understandably so. Right. What constituent would like to hear you're allowing more debt to pile up for the country? You talked about leverage. The leverage this time around, right, is spending cuts, right? That's what the Republicans are sort of holding out for. All the players seem to say these negotiations between the White House and the Hill are going well, and that perhaps a deal may be out there. Have you gotten any inkling that the Republican leadership in the House, because we have a divided government this time around, is truly willing not to raise the debt ceiling?
You know what's interesting to me in that it so often happens with President Obama. The dilemma for him is so often within his own party. And what you've seen him signaling to Democrats for the last week or so is, listen, calm down, understand we're going to have to accept some sort of spending cuts in order to get to where we need to go. And the Democrats are the ones going, really? Really? And kind of pushing back. So this is this intra-democratic debate, while Republicans seem to be very copacetic about this. Oh, I'm sure the president's going to come around to our way of thinking, which is not normally what they do in these debates.
Yeah, that's fascinating. I want to turn our attention to the 2012 race. Obviously, it continues to heat up as the field continues to take shape. We learned this weekend that Mike Huckabee, the former Arkansas governor, the Iowa caucus winner from 2008, is not going to run this time around, despite his strong position in the polls.
The field keeps shrinking and expanding, kind of like a sponge. Yeah. It's fun to watch in some ways, because we saw Newt Gingrich jump in, and then we see Mike Huckabee jump out. And somewhere in the middle of there, teetering, is Mitch Daniels, the governor of Indiana, which, depending on the day of the week, we hear he is in or out. You know, Mike Huckabee's in the end was not that great a surprise. It had become almost conventional wisdom that he was now prosperous enough and happy enough in his life, and, as he said, prayerful enough to decide that this wasn't something he wanted to do.
But it does leave a hole in the field, right? A big social conservative. Who now can benefit from Huckabee's departure from the race?
I tell you who wants to benefit.
Oh, okay.
Rick Santorum wants to benefit.
Okay.
Tim Pawlenty wants to benefit. Probably Mitt Romney will not benefit, because there doesn't seem to be any warmth between the Huckabee and Mitt Romney people. But also, we have heard Huckabee say nice things about Mitch Daniels. And Helen Barber, of course, say nice things about his friend Mitch Daniels. The problem, of course, being that Mitch Daniels is the one who said there should be a truce on social issues. So it's interesting watching everybody, even Newt Gingrich yesterday on the Meet the Press, suggesting that he maybe didn't agree with the people on the right of his own party on some economic issues. So everyone's trying to find just one piece of this that they can stake out.
Perfect segue. I wanted to get to the Gingrich comments, because he really did kind of stiff-arm the Ryan budget, saying, almost describing it as radical, and also he was saying that perhaps it's a step too far, a jump too far, to do this Medicare change to sort of a private system with private insurers and vouchers. I mean, sure, that indicates what we know about the polling in this scenario, but is this now the leading edge of what the Republican presidential candidates are going to do, that they're not going to fully embrace this Ryan budget that all their House colleagues have been pushing?
The thing I find the most interesting about Gingrich's comments about this being a step too far is I kept flashing back to Newt Gingrich in 1994. He was the revolutionary. He was the one pushing things too far. He was the one saying, it's no time for compromise. We've got to nail this. And to have him now come back as elder statesman saying, you know, we've got to find some middle ground. He wasn't quite saying that, but almost on this issue, I found quite striking. And I didn't come away with any clear understanding of where he thinks he is in this debate.
Yeah, neither did I. That's a really good point.
Yeah.
And I'm going to take your metaphor of
the sponge.
For the rest of this week, because that is really accurate. It's also that unsettled and amorphous.
For the rest of the year, I think.
Maybe for the rest of the year. That does it for this edition of The Checklist. Be sure to click us on right here again next week. Thanks a lot.